This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up 1 Peter with Shepherd the Flock and a Roaring Lion. Then we plow on into 2 Peter with Introduction, An Entrance into the Eternal Kingdom, and By Way of Reminder. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. For it is your Father, and through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us make a choice.
is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A reading from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. We don't talk like that very much these days, but maybe we should. The New Testament certainly does. Both Peter and James talk about the passions of the flesh that are waging war within against the soul, but especially in St. Paul, as here in this text. The Christian life is a struggle. Now, sometimes the apostle uses athletic metaphors, running the race, pressing on toward the goal, winning the prize. But other times, it's military ones. He calls his co-workers fellow soldiers. He encourages Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Most famously, he identifies our opponents, the ones that we're really struggling with, not as flesh and blood, but the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And therefore, Paul calls upon the faithful to don spiritual weapons and armor, truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, here in this morning's lesson, Paul is talking about tactics, what to avoid and what to do in the struggle. And he encourages Timothy to keep on doing it, to keep up the fight, until at last Christ comes again. Well, that's all fine and good for Timothy. The church was brand new. It was under attack from all sides. And of course, he had to fight. But what about us? 2,000 years later, almost, 21st century America, are we still under the gun? Are we still fighting, still struggling? Well, I guess we can all say, yes. There's a lot of stuff that we don't like, a lot of stuff going on that's wrong, attitudes and practices regarding life and sexual behaviors. We talk, we write, we pray about such things. We're still fighting, aren't we? Well, yes, we are. And we shouldn't give up that fight either. But that's not the kind of fight that the apostle is talking about in this text. It's not struggling with the stuff out there, the forces of wickedness at work in the world. It's struggling with the stuff in here, in the heart, out of which, said our Lord, come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, out of the heart, your heart, my heart too. This is the struggle to which the apostle is referring. Now, he says at the outset of our reading, flee these things. What are the things? Well, that refers to the verses just prior to this morning's reading, verses that indict avarice and greed. The love of money, says the apostle, the love of money is the root of all evil. And then he adds, it is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So in this case, the love of money, the best fight is flight. And instead of money, the pursuit of righteousness and godliness and faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness. Now, these are all characteristics of the inner man. They're characteristics of the heart. They're the virtues of a Christian. Oh, and yes, they show themselves in outward deeds and good works, but they start in the heart. And that's where we have to fight the fight of faith, in the heart, inside, against sinful lusts and desires. But now, do we? That's the question for this morning. Are we engaged in that fight? Or are we just going through the motions? Now, just think about it. What's your favorite sin? I'm guessing, of course, but I'd be surprised if we all didn't have one. Something to which we recur again and again and again. I mean, maybe it's indulging in just a little soft porn, or maybe a little malicious gossip with a friend, or maybe gluttony. Too much food. Too much drink. Or maybe it's greed. More interested in the Dow Jones averages than you are in the Bible. Maybe always kind of buying lottery tickets in hopes that you'll strike it rich. Things like that. And you know what I mean. Now, we probably confess it regularly, but do we actually do anything about it? Do we actually fight it? In other words, have we become complacent in our Christianity? Glad to have forgiveness, glad to have all the promises of God, but not all that committed to fighting the fight of faith when it comes to dealing with our own sinful flesh. We're too tired, we say. I'm too old to change, we say. It's not really that bad, we say. But what does God say through the Apostle Paul? Well, he says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Take hold of it. Believe it. Trust it. Put that at the center of your life. For this is the gift of the gospel. This is the fruit of Christ's saving work. It's yours right now and into eternity, not this stupid, sinful stuff with which we are too often preoccupied, but with the real thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. All of that is ours right now and forever through faith. Now that's worth fighting for. That's worth the struggle. Now Paul goes on to remind Timothy of the good confession he once made in the presence of many witnesses. The good confession. So how about you? You've been baptized. You've been confirmed. You have made a good confession. You've renounced the devil, his works, and his ways. You've promised to be faithful even to the point of death. That's a good confession. But are we keeping it? Are we keeping up the fight? Now, our Lord made a good confession, says the apostle, and he kept it. For our sakes, he kept it. And he went to the cross to fight our fight against devil, world, and sinful flesh, and he won. And boy, did he ever. That's what Easter is all about. He won the fight. And he's coming back. He's coming back for us. Now, one of the challenges of coming to the seminary, whether as a student or as a professor, is that the faith that we confess and the piety that we practice, the kinds of things we're talking about in this very sermon, well, they become something that we teach or learn or study on a par with biology or history or some other academic enterprise regarding which we take tests and write papers. So here's something that we have to guard against, that our faith becomes only this, something that we master with our heads but ignore in our lives. But the conclusion to this morning's reading, with all of its exhortation and encouragement to keep up the struggle, the conclusion is a healthy reminder that what we have to do, what we have to deal with here at the seminary, and indeed in the church everywhere, is not some abstract truth, not some system of thought, not some philosophy, but what we are dealing with is God. God Himself, the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Yes, indeed. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty and everlasting God, direct, sanctify, and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and in the works of your commandments, that through your mighty protection we may ever be preserved in both body and soul, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.